Happily, this was precisely the sort of repetitive toil that suited Milankovitch's temperament. For the next 20 years, even while on vacation, he worked ceaselessly with pencil and slide-rule, computing the tables of his cycles, work that now could be completed in a day or two with a computer. The calculations all had to be made in his spare time, but in 1914 Milankovitch suddenly got a great deal of that when World War I broke out, and he was arrested, owing to his position as a reservist in the Serbian army. He spent most of the next 4 years under loose house arrest in Budapest, required only to report to the police once a week. The rest of his time was spent working in the library of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences. He was possibly the happiest prisoner of war in history. The eventual outcome of his diligent scribblings was the 1930 book Mathematical Climatology and the Astronomical Theory of Climatic Changes. Milankovitch was right that there was a relationship between ice ages and planetary wobble, though like most people he assumed that it was a gradual increase in harsh winters that led to these long spells of coldness. It was a Russian-German meteorologist, Vladimir Köppen, a father-in-law of our tectonic friend Alfred Wegener, who saw that the process was more subtle and rather more unnerving than that. The cause of ice ages, Köppen decided, is to be found in cool summers, not brutal winters. If summers are too cool to melt all the snow that falls on a given area, more incoming sunlight is bounced back by the reflective surface, exacerbating the cooling effect and encouraging yet more snow to fall. The consequence would tend to be self-perpetuating. As snow accumulated into an ice sheet, the region would grow cooler, prompting more ice to accumulate. As the glaciologist Gwen Schultz has noted, it is not necessarily the amount of snow that causes ice sheets, but the fact that snow, however little, lasts. It is thought that an ice age could start from a single unseasonal summer. The leftover snow reflects heat and exacerbates the chilling effect. The process is self-enlarging, unstoppable, and once the ice is really growing, it moves, says McPhee. You have advancing glaciers and an ice age. In the 1950s, because of imperfect dating technology, scientists were unable to correlate Milankovitch's carefully worked-out cycles with the supposed dates of ice ages as then perceived, and so Milankovitch and his calculations increasingly fell out of favour. He died in 1958, unable to prove that his cycles were correct. By this time, write John and Mary Gribben, you would have been hard-pressed to find a geologist or meteorologist who regarded the model as being anything more than an historical curiosity. Not until the 1970s, and the refinement of a potassium-argon method for dating ancient seafloor sediments, were his theories finally vindicated.